right. Well, how many today are ready to go into God's Word? Are you ready to study God's Word? Let me ask you again. How many are ready to study God's Word today? All right. That's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah. Today, I want to have you just realize today, as we talk about serving, the servant leadership, we're in the middle of a series and coming to an end as we draw close over the next week or two on servant leaders and what it means to serve and what God's heart is all about servanthood. God's heart has always been about servanthood, and it's about serving, using our giftings for Him. And today I want to talk to you about serving God through our worship. Serving God through our worship. I read the true story of a man named Bill Mallory. Bill Mallory was from the Chicago area, and he traveled all the way to India to find the true meaning of life. And as he got to India and went to study at the temples there and the theologians, he still came back with no answers to really what's the true meaning of life. And so as he was coming back in his frustration, he was filling up his car, and he saw a sign at the Chevron gas station that simply said, "Ask as you travel." Ask as you travel. So every time he went into Chevron to fill up his gas tank, he would ask the person at the counter, "Hey, I'm traveling through, and I got a question for you. What's the meaning of life?" And he said, man, he got some of the craziest answers you'd ever heard. You know, people, "I don't know, dude. I just started here." And other people, you know, I don't get into church, man. And there's all kinds of weird answers. And he would continue to ask us wherever he went to see what kind of response he'd get. So finally, Chevron actually wrote him a letter and said, "We have heard that you have made several requests across the nation at some of our gas stations asking questions. If you would write it in a formal letter and submit it to us, we'll get back to you." And he wrote the Chevron executives a formal letter asking them, "What is the meaning of life? Your sign says ask as you travel, so I'm trying to find out what is the meaning of life." He waited a few weeks, and then 3 weeks later, he got a response. He was so thrilled. He went to the mailbox and opened it up. And as he opened it up, he realized that they had sent him a credit card application. Still no answers. And today I'm going to tell you, if you want to know what the true meaning of life is, you're not going to find it at the gas station. You're not going to find it in India or at some temple somewhere meditating for weeks upon weeks. To find the true meaning of life, we find it through God's Word. He says His Word is life. His Word breathes life into us. His Word is life. It is the truth. It is the source. And as we study His Word and find out what really is the meaning of life, we realize it right here. Let's look at it in Revelations 4:12. It says, "You, God, created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." So if we interpret this right, it says that God created everything, and it is for God's pleasure that we were created and exist. So if I really understand the meaning of life, it simply means this, that I was created to love God, to give Him pleasure. That's my purpose in life. That's the first thing that God created me to do, was to give Him pleasure. How many take pleasure in your own children? Some of you, that's a trick question, I know. How many the first time? No, I'm just saying, I should have break this up into age groups, shouldn't I? I don't know. But, you know, how much pleasure do we take in our children? And we're created in God's image, and God takes pleasure in us. God looks at us, and when God created us, He wanted a family. As we talked about last week, we were created to be God's children. We were created because God wanted a family. And we were created, last week we talked about, we were created as an affection of God's love. And today I want to talk to you. You were created to love God back. You were created to love God back. When you love God back, you're serving Him. A form of serving is worshiping God, loving Him back. Today God wants you to love Him back. He made it very simple. It's a simple scripture, Matthew 22. We look at the scripture. It says, "Love the Lord your God." He said, "This is the first and the greatest thing that you can do of all commandments." A man asked him, "What's the greatest thing I can do?" And he says, "It's you love the Lord your God." This is the first and greatest commandments, that we love God. It's simply put, that's what he says. I want you to love me. That's the greatest thing you can do, is to love me. It's to love Him. It's our highest priority in life. Our highest priority in life should be to love God. To love God. It's our highest priority, is loving God. Romans 12:1 says it like this, "Because of God's great mercy, to us. Because of God's great mercy to us, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Isn't that an interesting scripture? Because of God's great mercy to us, offer. So it says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice as God is dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is true worship. This is what the Bible calls true worship that you should offer. So this tells me two things. First of all, worship is my response to God's love. Simply put, worship is my response to God's love. It says, because of God's great mercy. Isn't that awesome? God took the initiative. I mean, how many know today that it's kind of a thing today when you want to love somebody that we always wait until we hear back from them first, isn't it? You ever want to tell someone you love them, but you want to hear it from them first? I mean, this goes all the way back to grade school. You know what I'm talking about. Go find out if so-and-so likes me. And before he's over, you got half the school talking about this. So-and-so, does he like him? I don't know. Does he like me? I don't know. Does he like her? You know what I mean? They're going back and forth, and you want to hear it first. Before I step out on the limb, I want to hear, do they really like me before I tell them I like them? I mean, that's the very nature of who we are. And we're that way as human beings that we want to wait till it's safe before we put our feelings out on the line, don't we? We don't like to lay our feelings out on the line until we know if they're not going to be stomped on and crushed. With God, we don't have to do that. It's an awesome thing because he has first loved us. He said, I love you first. God said, I love you first. And he didn't just say it. He proved it with actions. He backed it up by sending his only son to die for us. While yet I was a sinner, Christ died for me. And so my response to God is love. And the second part is this, we are to offer. That's what it says, we are to offer. That word describes worship. You want to know what worship is? It's simply this. Worship is giving back to God. It's offering back to God. Worship is giving back to God. Because of God's great mercy to us, I'm to worship as a living sacrifice to God, dedicating to his service, pleasing to him. This is true worship, when I offer myself to God. So the question is, when it says to offer, what am I supposed to do? I mean, what do you give the person who's got everything? Isn't that a trick question, you know? How many already stressing out about Christmas already? Some of you already thinking about it. You know, it's not going to be long, people. November's coming next week, and we're going to be hitting Thanksgiving and Christmas shopping, just like that. You know, what do you get the person who's got everything? I mean, some of you husbands, you have a hard time buying for your wife, don't you? I don't know what she wants. If she wants it, she gets it herself, and then, you know, we've been married all these years. I've gotten her everything. You know, it's hard. It gets harder and harder. You have to really pay attention to what your wife wants, and you have to really be listening if you want to surprise her, because it's hard to buy that person who you've bought many gifts for before. And kind of the same thing with God. What do you give God? I mean, really, what can we give God that would really please him? I mean, he owns everything, right? He owns everything. According to Scripture, it all belongs to him. Hey, God, it's kind of like your kid bringing you your fishing pole out of the garage. Say, Merry Christmas, Dad. You know, thanks, son. I already bought this, but, you know, thanks. Hey, it's kind of the way we feel sometimes when we give God our worship. You know, he owns everything. But you realize that God takes the most joy out of us offering back to him. That's what he wants. Mark 12, it says it like this. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This gives me the ways I should love him. It tells me three ways I should love him. First of all, I should love him thoughtfully with my mind. That's what it says, to love him thoughtfully with my mind. In other words, he wants you to think it through. He wants you to be intentional about loving him. Second, if he wants me to be passionate. He wants me to be passionate with all my heart. With all my heart and all my soul. He wants you to be passionate with my heart and soul. He wants your worship when you offer to him to be passionate. Isn't that a cool thing? This morning, so if you're here today, you say, man, I've never been in a church where people are kind of passionate about worshiping God before. This is why. Because today we know that God wants us to be passionate in love with him. He wants our worship to be a thing of passion. Not a thing of religious duty, but a thing that comes from the heart, a passion. And the third thing is we find from the scripture that he wants me to love him practically, in a practical ways. Love me with your strength, our abilities. He wants us to serve him using our abilities, offering our abilities to him. He says, these are the three ways I want you to worship me. And the truth is that even through God created the entire world and universe, he also created you. There are three things that God does not have unless you give it to him. There's three areas of our life. There's three things that God does not have unless we give it to him. He doesn't have your attention unless you give it to him. He doesn't have your affection unless you give it to him. And he doesn't have your ability unless you give it to him. So we're going to break this scripture down. We're going to look at those three points today. The first part is worship is focusing my attention on God. Worship is focusing my attention on God. He says, I want you to love me with all of your mind. You know, many people will tell you that true worship only happens when you can clear your mind of all thoughts. I mean, clear your mind of all thoughts. Go out and set aside a nice meadow somewhere in the field, you know. You're just out there by yourself, you know. And just true meditation takes, that's true worship. And I say to you, true worship is not emptying your mind. True worship is focusing your mind. True worship is focusing your mind. He says, I want you to intentionally love me. He said, with all your mind. What's he saying? He said, I want you to intentionally think it through. Think it through that you want to love me. Think it through that you want to offer yourself as a sacrifice. Think it through that you want to worship me. It's an intentional thing. It's not a non-intentional thing. Think about it. Plan it out. You know why God wants your focus? God wants your focus because he first focused on you. We are the focus. We are the object of his attention. Look what Psalms 139 says. You have looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. You know when I am resting or when I am working. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go. God has focused his attention on you. God sees you and he is watching you. Sometimes guys will ask me this, and in 15 years of ministry, I've done a lot of counseling, and one of the things I hear a lot from guys is they'll come to me, you know, especially husbands and dads, I work hard for my family, I'm working all the time, and I'm trying to provide for them, and yet they don't feel like I love them. Why is that? And I simply say to them, your family doesn't just want you to work for them. Your family doesn't just want you to provide for them. Your family wants your attention. Amen, wives? I mean, you want the attention of your husband. Your children, they want the attention of the father. That's the greatest form of love shown, is when you show attention to somebody. You give them your time. And so many times we get caught up as men when we're working and we're doing things, providing for our family, but are we providing attention? Because that's really what they want, is our attention. They're not wanting, they may say they want something out, I want the next biggest thing, but that's gonna be outdated within a couple of weeks. That's going to be broken. January 1st, those toys they played with at Christmas time, a lot of them will be broken in the closet, hardly play with the rest of the year. They'll play with that box a lot longer than they'll play with that toy. That's not what they're worried about. They want the attention. They want the attention. My kids, they love to receive nice things. They like toys. You know what thrills them the most is when I give them my attention. When it's just one-on-one with dad. They love that more than anything else. I see their faces light up more than anything else is when they get that attention. And that's what love is. That's what God says. I want you to focus your mind. You love me with your mind. You intentionally focus on me. I mean, you remember, you know what I'm talking about. You remember those feelings you had even maybe in elementary school or maybe in early junior high? You know that feeling, guys, that you would be in there with girls and you'd be in there in class and you used to be a straight-A student and you were studying everything. You did everything according to book, And all of a sudden that girl walked into the classroom and her hair, and the teacher's talking and all you hear is wah, 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 wah. You think Charlie Brown's teacher's there. And she's teaching and all the time all you can think of is this right here. Teacher's over here, wah, 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 and you're... Can't take my eyes off you. I mean, you go out to the playground, the guys are playing basketball, and you're running through the field. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Don't ask. What was it about the object of affection that you've seen there? I mean, we really, when we get in true love, I mean, it just takes your attention, doesn't it, man? You know, the teacher's talking, and mom and dad are like, what's going on? You're like, but he's so cute. Oh, seen her hair. You know, this love does these strange things to us. It comes to objects of our affection. See, that's the way God looks at us. That's the way God looks at us, and that's the way he wants you to look at him. He says, focus your mind on him. He wants you to focus your mind on him. He said, God, today I am intentionally saying to God, my thoughts are towards you because you died for me and you loved me. You first loved me. I am the focus. I am the object of your attention, God. And so today I'm going to make you the object of my affection. Today I'm going to make you the object of my attention. I'm going to offer myself today. My thoughts are focused on you. You're the person that I'm wanting to be with. You're the person. Look what it says in Romans 8:7. Focusing on yourself is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God and ends up thinking more about himself than God. Ooh, isn't that a hard statement? When you're so absorbed in your day about what you got to accomplish, about what you got to do, and we all are there. And why is this important? Because we're very self-centered people. It's our nature. We're born that way. We're born selfish. We are born self-centered. And so I have to learn that, you know, he says, when I am being self-centered, I'm doing the very opposite thing that God has called me to do. He's called me to fix and to focus my mind on him. How much better would our day be if we would just put into practice some of these simple scriptures that we've heard all of our life? We know that we're supposed to focus our attention on God, but we blow it off, and we put all the attention back on ourselves. What do I got to do today? And we got to write out our list of 25 things you got to get done today, and we're marking them off, and we got to get through it, and we got to get through it, and we got to get through it. And we go through our whole day, and we haven't focused our attention. We haven't worshiped God the way he has called us to worship. Romans 12:2 says it like this: don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into what even you're thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. I like what Matthew 6:6 says. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God and you'll begin to sense his grace. I think it gives us a very clear picture of what worship is meaning to be like throughout our week. He said, find a place. Find a place. Find a quiet, secluded place. Where can that be? That may be in your car for some of you because you got a busy schedule. That may be when you're alone in the car after you drop the kids off of school and you're heading to work. That may be moms after you've gotten everything taken care of in the morning and everybody's off and you're getting ready to do your things that afternoon. You're getting ready. Whatever it is, find a place. Find a place. You know, today we have that freedom. God has given us that freedom that we can find a place to worship. Now, in the Old Testament, you didn't have that freedom. You had to travel many miles to get to the temple to worship. But when Jesus came, we know that he broke that mold. And he said, man, the veil's been ripped. Now you and I can find a place wherever we're at for God's presence. That's the beauty of worship, is now that you and I, we can worship wherever we are. But we got to find that place of worship. Make it simple. That's what he said, simply. Just be with God simply. No fancy words, no fancy ceremony. None of this, you know, trying to pray in ways that you don't understand, you know. Oh, heavenly Father. I mean, no one's around you. Do you really have to use that voice? I mean, just pray honestly. God, this is me. God, I need you today. God, I love you today. God, man, I've been a jerk today. I need you. And God, I need your help in my life. And God, I just want to be honest before you. Talk to God real. Make it simple. Don't make it complex. And just be honest. Just be yourself before God. He already knows who you are. He already knows what you're thinking. He already knows what you've done. Scripture's very clear about that. So just be honest and be yourself. God, this is the moron I am. God, this is the person I am at times in my life. God, this is the person I am at times. I make stupid mistakes. And God, I need you to help me to improve my life. I need you to help me get over some of these things that I'm failing at. God, may your spirit today guide me as I go to my work. Help me to hold my tongue, because yesterday I didn't hold my tongue at work very well. Yesterday I had a rotten attitude to my boss. Yesterday I had a rotten attitude to some teachers at school with me. Yesterday I had, all these things that go through your mind. No one intended here. Okay, anyway, let's keep going. Number two, worship is also expressing my affection to God. It's expressing my affection to God. It's loving God with your heart and soul. It's loving God with your heart and soul. And maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm just kind of the silent type. I don't express love very well. My mom didn't express it. My dad didn't express it. I was just not raised in a home where people expressed love. So it's just not my nature. And today I'm very understanding. And I want to give you some simple words today to help you. Get over it. Get over it. I don't care if it's not your nature. You make it your nature to be expressive to your love to God. What if God said, I know you guys need a Savior, but this is my son, and we're just not expressive types here, so he's not going to die for you. I think I'll just wipe the world out and start over again. No, it was in our sin Christ died for me. The greatest love he's shown to you and I. And so we have got to get past that. We've got to be expressing our love to God. Now, I know you're not going to express it. You know, you're not going to get out in front of, you know, people at work and raise your hands. Hallelujah! I'm not talking about going to work and making a spectacle of yourself, but learning in your quiet times to express your love to God. That's why we simply like to lower the worship time, like lower the lights in here, so people feel free just to worship God and tell them you love him. So that you're not looking around and seeing who's watching you and you're watching somebody else, so you can focus your attention on God. Free of distractions. We like to make those times in your life, because if you can do it in here, then you can carry it over into your own personal life at home. But I tell you, if you can't do it right here, you're going to have a hard time doing it outside of here. Okay? And so that's why it's important that we practice in here. We practice and we come together and we express our love to God. We express how much we love him. We do it passionately. It's our affection to God. He says, worship me with your heart and your soul. That's where passion comes from, doesn't it? Ladies, is that where passion comes from? From the heart? We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. It's so important, this thing we can know in life, is that God loves us. This is the most important thing we can know in life, that God loves us. And the most important thing in life that I can do is love him back. The most important thing I can know in life is that God loves me unconditional. Isn't that an awesome thing when you have that revelation in your life? The most important thing I know is that God loves me. And the most important thing in life I can do is simply love him back. That becomes my highest priority. But what about, ladies, if I came today, if I came to my wife and I said, honey, here's some flowers. Here you go. And I did it for three reasons. Number one, because I'm her husband. And number two, it's our anniversary. And number three, it's what you're supposed to do on your anniversary. Here's your flowers, honey. Happy anniversary. And I walked away. How many things she's going to be like, oh, it's so passionate right here. Flowers on my anniversary. Woo. But it's when I just out of the day just call her and say, honey, I love you. I'm thinking about you. You want to go on a date tonight? So those times that she's like, are you talking to me? Hello? Did you get the wrong number? Hello? She's like, this is my husband. That means a lot to her, because it's coming from my heart. It's not done out of a duty. And that's why we're talking about today that, you know, worship comes out of a relationship with God. It's a true relationship that it comes from. It's not out of religion. Religion that tells me I got to do this or this way and that way and a set of rules you got to abide by. Or, you know, no, it comes out of a relationship, and my worship spills out of my relationship. It's my passion. It's my heart. God says, you worship me with all your heart. With all your soul. What's he saying? He says, I want you to be in love with me. Man, he wants you to love being with him. He wants you to, today, if you're here today, say, Pastor, this is just way too much music. All this singing to God. Why is that important? Because if you're a Christian, you're going to spend the rest of eternity doing that. Study Scripture. We're going to be worshiping God all eternity, singing to Him constantly, man. We're going to be worshiping the Lord, and it's out of a passion that I sing to Him. It's out of passion in my heart. I mean, this is a passion. I remember when my wife and I were dating, I had my roommate had a guitar, and he would play, and I would write these stupid songs, and I would sing to her outside of her window, and he would play, and everybody would throw tomatoes at me, but it was all right because I was in love. I was passionate. It would come out of a heart. It came out of passion. God says, I want you to be passionate about me. I want you to sing to me out of passion. I want you to focus your mind on me because it's out of a passion. I want you to raise your hands to me because it's out of a passion. I want you to kneel before me out of passion. I want you to love me out of passion. I want you to talk to me out of passion. I want you to offer yourself to me out of passion, out of your heart. Worship is expressing my affection to God, being affectionate to God. Exodus says it like this: He is the God who is passionate about His relationship with you. God is passionate about His relationship with you. Do you realize that? He is passionate about our relationship with Him. And He expects us, that's what He asks us to do, to be passionate in our response to Him. Romans 6 says it like this: Give yourselves completely to God, since you have been given a new life. So what holds us back from being affectionate? I think it's the same thing that holds us back in all of our relationships, simply is fear. Fear, if we put it out there, it's going to be rejected. Fear, if I put my affection out there, it's not going to be accepted. Fear, if I put it out there, I might be made fun of. You know, and that keeps us many times from sharing our affection in real life. I believe sometimes it even carries over into our relationship with God. I'm fearful that what people might think about me. I'm fearful that God may not think I'm worthy. God may not, He's like, well, who's this person lifting your hands, you know? Some of you are fearful if you worship the Lord that maybe the roof will cave in. I don't know what you're afraid of today, but I believe fear sometimes can drive us. And today, you got to get past that fear because God is passionately in love with you. God is passionately in love with me. Boy, it changes your outlook in life. When you have a grasp of that, it will change the way you serve Him. It will change the way you look at Him. God is passionately. Some of you have never had anybody passionately in love with you ever. And today I'm here to tell you, you do have someone passionately in love with you. It's your Heavenly Father. He says, I am passionately in love with you. He sees you and he craves to be with you. I heard a story about Liz Curtis Higgs. And to be honest with you, the first time I read a story, I didn't know who she was. But I guess in her day, she was a part of this big shock jock movement that happened with Howard Stern. We've all heard of Howard Stern. Well, Howard Stern was the AM radio, and she had the night shift. She did the PM, he did the AM, and they were kind of mirror. He was the guy, male chauvinist pig, pervert, and she was the female version of the feminist movement, you know, and they had their own talk radio shows, and they were shock jock. And it was Howard Stern that turned to her one day and said, hey, Liz, you need to get your life together. And how many know if Howard Stern tells you that, you're in trouble, you know? If Howard Stern tells you and says, hey, you need to get your life together, that's how bad she was. And she had been invited to church several times by a friend, and one time she decided she was going to go. Her schedule worked out. She said, I'll go to this church thing. And she went to church. And here's this woman who's a feminist radio shock jock, you know, the biggest skeptic about church. And she goes in, and the first scripture the pastor reads has to do with, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. I mean, does God have a sense of humor or what, you know? She's like, uh-huh, you know, here we go. This is what church is all about. And then he went on to talk about the rest of that scripture, which says, husbands, lay down your lives for your wives, as Christ has died for the church. And she leaned over to her friend and she says, you know what? I could love a man who was willing to die for me. And her friend leaned back and says, one already has. It's Jesus. And it was shortly after that she gave her heart to God and now is a Christian author and speaker. It's just changed her life around. But she had never knew that someone loved her enough, that passionately loved her enough to die. She thought all men hated her, just out for selfish reasons. And she finally found a man who loved her unconditionally, passionately. It was Jesus. And it changed her life. When you have a revelation of the passion that Jesus Christ has for you, it will change who you are. And the last thing today is this here. Worship is focusing not only my attention on God, it's expressing my affection to God, but it's also using my abilities for God. Using my abilities for God. It's called practical love. Ladies, how many times today, and I'm using you a lot today because, men, we need a lot of illustrations to understand love. So we gotta break it down into our language. And ladies, how many times today can you say, if your husband tells you he loves you, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you, that's good to hear. But does it mean a lot more to you when he walks in the door and says, honey, let me help you with the laundry. Let me help you with the kids. Let me help you clean the house a little bit here. And some, who said amen? Someone said amen already. Hallelujah. Some of you elbowing your husband. Wake up. It means a lot more when it's love in action, doesn't it? I mean, it means a lot more than just having words or getting flowers on a Valentine's Day or an anniversary. It's love in action every day that you come in with your action, not just with your words, and you prove it by sharing responsibilities and helping her and caring about her. That's love in action. And that's the way it is with God. God says, I want you to focus your mind. I want you to focus your passion and your affection. He said, but I also want you to put your love in action and use your abilities to serve me. Use your abilities. And when we do that, when we use our abilities to serve God, when we get involved with our giftings and use our giftings to reach out to other people, to work his church, to spread the gospel, to serve others, when we're using the abilities God has given us, we are worshiping God with love in action. And it's that time that it speaks louder than anything we can do because it's love in action, not just love in words. We can come here and sing, God, I love you, I love you, I love you all day long. But tomorrow morning, if I get up and my actions speak different, did I really mean what I sung today? Did I really mean the words that I said today? It's the action that backs up what we do. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. This will change your life. Let me tell you, this part of worship will change your life when you hold a job and say, God, no longer am I working for the man, I'm working for you. Can you imagine the revelation that will take place on your job when you quit working for the CEO of your company, you quit working for the stockholders of your company, you say, I'm working for God, and I'm doing this job as unto God. It changes your heart. That's what he's talking about here. That our life should, that everything we do should be done as an act of worship to him. Just change who you're working for. And then your work becomes worship. God, I'm doing things in my life. In life, it's not what you do that matters. It's who you do it for that's most important. It's not what you do that's most important. What is most important is who you're doing it for. That's an act of worship. Is your priority straight? Notice what Romans 12 says, and this is the paraphrased version of the message. I like the way it puts it. It says it like this. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. This is worship. He says, all this stuff you're going to do tomorrow, do it as worship. So how do I do that? Don't walk around, here I am to you. Well, I'm sorry, I ran into you. Don't walk around my life tomorrow doing that. No, I got a job to do. I got kids to take care of. I got houses to clean. We got responsibilities. But when I do my responsibilities as unto the Lord, it becomes worship. And it changes you. When I become the best employer, I can become. When I become the best employee, I can become. When I become the best student, I can become. When I become the best husband, I can become. When I become the best wife, I can become. When I become the best son or daughter, friend, sister, brother, I can become. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And that becomes worship. It's an act of worship. It's motion. It's putting into motion my words. Today, God pays attention to every detail of our life. And in closing today, Joe, I want us to do Draw Me Close if we could today. If we could do that this morning. The Bible says in Psalms 37, God pays attention And God delights in every detail of our lives. I read the story about this missionary trip that this person took. This person wasn't a missionary, but they were going on a missionary trip. They spent time with missionaries in Romania. And as they were going there to spend time in Romania, that this missionary was told, he said, listen, there's not a lot of things there to buy where you're going to be going. It's going to be hard on food and water. And so you might want to take some extra snacks with you. So he went to the store to buy some stuff to take with him. And he's like, God, just kind of direct me what you want me to get today. And, you know, he's in the store at Walmart. Isn't it kind of funny how he would say that? God, kind of direct me what you want me to get today. And he passes by and he feels drawn to Reese's peanut butter cups. Isn't that, how spiritual is that? Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah, Reese's, some of you are hearing that call already. Yes, Lord, speak to me. Reese's peanut butter cups. And so he threw some of those in his bag and he's going along. He saw some little fruit cocktail in the can, little individual cups, and he grabbed some of that and some other fruit in the cup. He said, that'll travel well. And he's like, all right, what else can travel well? And he's like, well, I better take something that can last. There won't be no refrigeration, so it needs to be something that can keep. So he grabbed some pudding, some pudding pops. He grabbed some pudding out of there. Bill Cosby's in Branson last night, so I'm sorry. He grabbed some pudding and threw it in his bag, and he traveled on this missionary trip to Romania. And as he was there, he was fed well, even though they were limited on supplies. He was fed well and didn't have to break into his stash. And so his last night there, he remembered that he had the stash in his suitcase. And so the missionaries that were there, he said, hey. He went and got a suitcase. He said, hey, come on in here. He got everybody in there. He said, hey. He asked the kids, if you could have one thing, just one thing from the U.S. that you haven't had in a long, long time, what is one thing that you would like to have? And the kids said, oh, we would love to have candy. We just love to have some candy. You can't get the candy up here, especially Reese's peanut butter cups. We love to have Reese's peanut butter, but you can't get them around here. Nowhere around here can you get. And this man, what? And he reaches in his suitcase and pulls out some Reese's, and the kids start crying because they haven't had a Reese's in several years, and they were like, oh, we love Reese's peanut butter cups. And he asked the mom, he said, mom, what would you like to have? You could have anything from the U.S., what would you like to have? She goes, oh, you know what I miss more than anything? I miss having fresh fruit. I love fresh fruit, and you just can't get it around here. You can't buy this fresh fruit anywhere around here. And the man goes, okay. And he reaches in his suitcase and says, here's some fresh fruit. And the mom begins to cry. And the story goes on, and he says, well, you know, I've got this generic pudding in this bag right here. I forgot the name of it. It was one of those names that no one ever likes to get. What's that pudding that no one ever buys? Somebody know what that name of it is? What would you say? What's one of those? Not the brand, but the type of pudding. It's a tapioca. That's it. Thank you very much. He said, I bought tapioca pudding. I remember my story here. And he's like, why am I buying this tapioca pudding? You know, this is. But it's the only thing they had left, and he wanted this pudding, so he put it in there. And he asked the father, he said, Dad. He's like, what would you have if you wanted anything from the U.S.? He goes, this is going to sound so strange to you. He goes, I'm probably the only one in the world that would ask for this right now, but I would love to have some tapioca pudding. And you can imagine the shock as he reaches in his bag and pulls out that pudding. You tell me God doesn't care about you. You tell me God doesn't see you as an object of his affection. That he can even get the very thing like that down to the hair of what you want and desire. He can send someone from across the country to bring you a little snack that would brighten your day, let you know that he cares about you that much and loves you that much. You are the object of God's affection. The greatest thing we can do is love him back. I'm going to invite you to stand today. We're going to end this time together, and I'm going to invite you, if we can just do this today. Can we all come to the front? Can we just get out of our seats and come to the front this morning? Let's get in close around the altar today. We're going to close this time out together. And I hope today that you are sensing that true servanthood is just simply knowing God at the core of who I am, that you love me more than anything, and that the highest priority that I can do is love you back. Now, you may need to spread out a little bit if you guys can scoot in and make a little room to the front. Try to make as much much room as possible. Guys, we can just kind of fan out around here. And simply, we're just simply going to do this. We're going to close with this simple song that says, "Draw me close to you. Draw me close to you." And today, I want you just to make that your prayer today. So, today, in my heart, God, today, as I leave here today, I want to draw close to you every day of my life. Every day, I want to know you a little bit more. Every day, I want to focus my mind on you. I want to make you passionately fall in love with you, passionately, and I want to make you the object of my affection. Come on, let's sing it together as we go. Watch out.
And you're all I want. And you're all I've ever needed. And you're all I want. Help me know you are near.
Draw me close to you.
And draw me close to you. And never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm your friend.
You are my desire, Lord.
You are my desire.
No one else will do.
No one else will do.
Nothing could take your place.
Nothing else can take your place.
To feel the warmth.
To feel the warmth of your embrace.
Help me find a way.
Help me find a way to bring me back to you.
Come on, make it personal today. Tell him.
To you, you're all I want, Lord. You're all I want, and you're all I've ever needed, and you're all I want.
Help me know.
Help me know you are near. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed, and you're all I want. Help me know you are near.
Father, today, Lord, I just pray for every person here this morning around the front. Well, today, as we close out this time with you, I just pray that in our heart we cement, Lord, this covenant with you, this is God, that you are all we want. That we realize that even though our days are so busy and they get busier and busier, that God, still the most important thing that I can do every day is simply love you back. Is simply know that you love me and to love you back. Help me to focus my mind. Help me to make it a passion in my heart. May it stay fresh. May the cross of Jesus Christ stay fresh in my heart, knowing that I am in love with you more today than I ever have. And may I use practically the abilities you've given me to advance the kingdom of God. That's worshiping you, through serving you, God, through my worship. And we love you today. And we say together, amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Shake a few hands around there. Tell somebody it was good to see you today in God's house. We'll see you tomorrow night for our work night. We can take up the chairs on the two side sections, leaving the center section there. But take the chairs up in the various sides and help us put those away. We'd appreciate it very much.